Gracious and Heavenly Father, You have blessed us. Even this morning, You have blessed us with the bread of the earth. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask for the bread of heaven, that You would let the heavenly manna, Your word, fall upon our hearts and minds. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember from last week, we looked at God cutting a covenant with Abram. But what all does that mean? Well, the fact that it was only God, let me back up. In the ancient Near East, when people would cut a covenant, it's a legal binding agreement. When they would cut a covenant, they would slaughter an animal, and then they would walk, the two people would walk between the pieces of the animal for everybody to see, thus confirming and securing the agreement. But if someone that had walked between the pieces, if one of those two people failed to keep the covenant, if they lied or they did not do what they had agreed to do, then by walking among the pieces of the animal that had been cut up, they are signifying that whatever happened to the animal is going to happen to me. In other words, since the animal was cut up, if I do not keep the covenant as I first agreed to, then I will be cut up. I will be killed. You learn to keep your word very quickly in the ancient Near East. But what we saw from last week is that there was only one that walked between the pieces. When Abram went into a deep sleep, he saw a smoking fire pot going between the pieces. And what this signified was that it was God Himself, not Abraham, but God Himself, who was cutting this covenant and was giving His word to Abram that I'm going to keep my word for everything that I promised you. I will keep my word. And if I don't, if I fail to be faithful in all of this, then what happened to the animal will happen to me. God said, if he's not faithful, then what has happened to the animal that Abram had cut up would happen to God. Now, can God die? Obviously not. So then it shows God's faithfulness. He takes something, a practice out of the ancient Near East, and he applies it to his situation with Abram to confirm and to show and to reassure Abram that God's going to keep his word. But then in chapter 17, God now calls Abram to participate in the covenant and then thus to receive some of the responsibilities in the covenant. Abram must receive the sign of the covenant to confirm that he will be faithful. Abram, God is asking Abram to respond in faith, to respond in love. Abram, think about how I delivered you out of Egypt. Think about how I have provided to bring your nephew back home. Think about how I have provided for you all these many years. And so now, Abram, I want you to enter into the covenant as well. Notice that the covenant comes on the heels of the fiasco in Egypt with Hagar. Abram He is in need of a constant reminder that God will be faithful. Why is it that Abram needs this constant reminder? Well, if you go back and look, you will see that Abram has failed over and over again. He didn't inquire of God before he went to Egypt. He lied when he got into Egypt. He put his wife at risk. Abram, he's a big sinner. And he needs a reminder of what he is to do, but more importantly, what God has done for him over all these years. And so God says to Abram in verse 1, "Walk before me and be blameless." Walk before me and be blameless. By this command, Abram was called to lead a righteous life, a holy life. Of all the gods of the ancient Near East, only Abram's God, El Shaddai, was the one who was called holy. Psalm 111, "Holy is his name." Psalm 99, "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for he is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." Leviticus 20, "You are to be my holy ones, because I, the Lord, am holy." 22:31, "Keep my commandments and follow me. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by all the Israelites. I am the one who sanctifies you and sets you apart to be holy." God is holy. Only God is holy. We cannot become holy. The only way we can be holy is to be declared holy by God. But we, in and of ourselves, do not have. We do not have the power or the sanctity to be holy. And holiness, according to the scriptures, is defined by obedience to God. 1 Kings, "You are to walk before me in holiness and integrity of heart, and do all I command, and observe my decrees and laws." In the same way, we are to be holy by walking before God. You know, think about this for a minute. You have certain rules at your house, do you not? Suppose I came over to your house one day and said, "Well, we're going to start doing things like this and not the way you did it in the past." You'd be a little bit offended, would you not? Well, so it is with God. God is holy, and he commands his people to enter into this covenant and to walk blamelessly before God, to be holy because he is holy. And if we are not, then he gets a little bit perturbed, just like you would if someone tried to change the way things are done in your house. Walk before me and be blameless. That's God's call to Abram. 1 Peter puts it this way: "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy. Don't skip over this. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to us. Every one of us, you hide it, you don't want people to know about it, but every one of us have got evil desires that you had when we lived in ignorance. Every one of us. Every one of us. There are no exceptions. And it's to those type of people, you and I, that the Apostle Peter says, be holy because God is holy. The one who has delivered you from sin, the one who has brought you into eternal life through Jesus Christ. Show your love. Show your obedience. Show your willingness to be in this covenant by seeking to be holy. How did God create man? Did he create man holy or unholy? Well, we know he created him holy. Why did God give his son as an atonement for sin? To make you holy. Why did God send the Holy Spirit? To empower you to walk in holiness. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will put my spirit in you. And I will move you. I will empower you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. To enter into you and to empower you to be obedient, to be holy, because God is holy. Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Why does God allow affliction in your life? It's because he is in the process of making you holy. You're declared holy in Christ. But he is teaching you to walk daily in holiness. And you can only learn that through having to deal with affliction. The idea of walking in holiness or walking before God. The words that are used insinuate that it is not God as a tyrant. Instead, it is God who is like a husband to his wife. Or the shepherd to the sheep. God, when he says, walk before me and be blameless, he's calling Abram to an intimate relationship. An intimate relationship whereby you will learn to keep the covenant that he has established. And of course, when Abram agrees to the covenant, his name is changed. His name is changed. It goes from Abram to Abraham. It goes from Sarai to Sarah. It goes from Simon to Peter. It goes from Saul to Paul, naming an individual in the ancient Near East signified your authority over them and that they were in a covenant with you. And so we are renamed as well. We are called Christians instead of idolaters. So what about you this morning? What about you? Are you in covenant with God? Have you accepted His demands of the covenant? Do you realize that He has entered into this covenant with you, but He did so because He gave you a promise that He would never leave you nor forsake you? This is a great reminder, a great comfort, the peace that passes all understanding, to know that when I sin or when providence is difficult for me, God has not forsaken me. I, in my weakness, may not be able to keep the covenant, but Jesus Christ, in His strength and holiness, keeps the covenant for me. My reassurance is not in what I can do. My reassurance is in what Christ has done for me. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us grace that we would walk before You and be blameless because You are holy, holy, holy. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship this morning.